years.
And the bulk of it came from this, but some of it also came from this. It's called the Open Church. It's talking about how to bring back the exciting life of the first century church. And so I went on vacation one time with Melinda at Myrtle Beach, and I spent 2 weeks researching that and the Bible. And I came up with a message that I'm going to bring today. So I'm like, you know, my flesh was like, the story of my life. I got this great message I'm going to bring to the people. And we got a wicked storm, and it's cold and windy, and we've got blizzard conditions, and no one's going to show up. And, you know, it's like, and like John said, you got to get, sometimes you got to get out of the way, because God does work. So the scripture for today comes from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I'm going to read that right now. You ready, Jerry? You are. You're ready. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So that's what this message is all about. It's about not forsaking the gathering of the brethren. Last week, Reggie Poulon spoke on to go or not to go to church. And he discussed many personal and scriptural reasons for why people come and then why people don't come. And I want you to be thinking about this as I speak, because you may be led later to share this, but why are you here right now? Why are people here on Zoom? You could be out shoveling, you could be sleeping in, you could be whatever. Why are you here? So be thinking about that as we go through this. So I kind of want to piggyback on and expand on what Rachel said last week. And I'm going to preface this by saying there is more to church than Sunday morning. We all know that. This is the period of time when we can gather together like-minded people, and as the songs, you know, talked about, that one that Crystal played, but we played the Crystal, it kind of tells why we're here. It's about this man named Jesus. Cornerstone, Jesus. Christ alone, those are the reasons we're here. But church is 24/7, it's not just today. This is a place where we come together like-minded, we get built up, and we get encouraged, provoked, exhorted, whatever needs to happen, so that we can go out there and be more effective as disciples of Jesus, because that's what we're called to do. It does offer us a chance to get together physically and spiritually to, you know, encourage each other. So from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, to me, it seems like the writer has actually given us a commandment. It's not, I think you should. Don't forget. Don't forsake. That kind of like a commandment. And there's more reasons to add to what Richie said last week about why we come to church. Now, I've got some that, from experience, from dealing with people, from reading things, you know, I've got some of my own reasons, and they may fit in with yours, and maybe they won't. You might have something else, but one of them is having a relationship with Jesus, first one, and with other believers, because that helps us live out our proclaimed faith. So when you're encouraged by someone else, you can go out there and live that faith that you proclaim you have. Two, we grow in our faith, and it's heavily influenced by the examples that other people set for us. It gives us opportunities to inspire others to love and good works. It helps us to meet each other's needs, to encourage and inspire each other. Colossians 3:16 is one that I really like, that it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We've done that already this morning. We could have had a whole service centered around that first song, Crystal Park. I thought about that. Maybe someday we should do that. Just take a song like that and just spend the whole time just soaking that in and talking about it and praying and worshiping. Again, this one here encourages us to teach and rebuke, advise. Rebuke, sometimes people don't like that word because that's kind of like discipline. Someone calling you out on something maybe you're doing. Advise, that's not a bad word. It's a little less aggressive or whatever. Basically to encourage each other. And then we go to Hebrews 3:13 and it says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay, so encourage one another every day as long as it's called today. Now it happens to be now. It could be tomorrow or Wednesday or whatever. So that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We can't be forsaking, abandoning, or neglecting the meeting of the brethren. Because we could be failing to do something we may have been called to do at a specific time. And it kind of makes me think of the situation with Marie. She did what the Lord told her to do. Now, she'd have fought that for a long period of time when she knew she was supposed to be doing it. That could be a problem. She didn't fight it that long, right, Marie? A day? Half a day? Hebrew also warns us about, in chapter 2, about drifting away. In chapter 3, unbelief. In chapter 5, immaturity. In chapter 6, falling away. In chapter 10, a call to persevere. The trials, tribulations, and faith of the faithful men and women in chapter 11. Disciplining, and refusing God in chapter 12. And it finishes with exhortations and standards to follow in the final chapter, chapter 13. So the whole book is like a challenge, just like the whole book of the Bible is. But Hebrews in particular, because we're focusing on that particular scripture of chapter 10. Because of those warnings, it kind of makes me think that maybe the believers in that time were possibly turning or had turned their backs on God, as well as turning their backs on the body of believers. They were kind of doing their own thing. And we can do that. Instead of doing what they were called to do, that is to get together, to grow together, to stay and stick together with like-minded believers in Christ, to rekindle that faith and build each other up for the battles they face. Anybody face any battles here? Isn't it good to have people kind of alongside you and someone who's got your back? So that's what happens when you come together. And it doesn't have to be Sunday morning, Monday nights, Tuesday mornings, Thursday. Whenever it is you're together, you can have breakfasts and be doing church. You can be riding in the back roads of New Hampshire. You could be walking in the woods and do church. And many people say, well, I don't need to go to church because I've got God and I find him in the woods by myself. You can't live that way. You can, but you're not going to be effective as a disciple of Christ, which is what we're called to do. So if you miss a service on Sunday, it doesn't mean you're forsaking the gatherings of the saints. We all know job schedules. We have people in this group that plow roads. We have people in this group that work on Sundays, and they can't. There's no way they can change the schedule or every other Sunday. So there are things that happen. Kids, we had kids, and sometimes we always try to get there, but sometimes something happened, we just couldn't make it. You have emergencies, you have other things that happen, and you can't make it. That's not the issue. I will say that all those other things you have to deal with, but being together on Sunday morning is very important and beneficial to all of us. And sometimes it's in ways we don't even see. The more we focus on following His leading and having our gatherings, it can lead to so many great things, including encouragement and getting off our duffs and on our feet, because we can get lazy, spiritually lazy. Zoom is a great tool. You know, I mean, we Zoomed before when, you know, we weren't even having services, like regular services, but it's not the same as being together with people. And I think that's one of the things that's hurt this country over the last couple of years. I understand the reasoning, but being separated from people is not beneficial. Maybe health-wise it is for a little bit, but in the long run it's not. Personal contact with each other in one place is much better, more enjoyable, and more effective than building us up. With all that being said, now Reggie Coulomb talked about why people go to church on Sunday and why they don't. I want to add a slight different angle and explore what people specifically want when they're searching for the right church to attend. So if I was to ask that question right now, someone has the mic? Okay, does anybody want to share not just why you're here, but what you would be looking for in a church? You don't just go somewhere. I mean, people church hop, they're looking for things, but specific reasons why you're here.
I'm gonna give a quick thing. When I was looking for a church, I had just become a believer, and I just was trying to find a different church. And to be honest, I came up here because my mother and father-in-law had come up here for a couple of times. They were searching for a church, and there was just something really amazing when I came in here. It just kind of really hit me. And I had been to a lot of different churches, and you would think I was a younger person back at that point. I was in my early 30s. A long time ago, I was in my 30s, and some of the other churches were a little bit more exciting, I guess you could say. Like they had longer music, they had younger people playing the music, they had they weren't playing hymns, and the speakers were kind of like really enthusiastic and kind of jumping around, but there was something about being in here that God just kind of hit me. And it felt real to me. It felt like a true place. And so it was kind of weird that this young guy came up here to an older congregation, and my mother and father-in-law, who were obviously older than me, ended up with a younger congregation. But that's because God moved them to be there for whatever reason that happened. And I ended up staying here. So I think that there's a lot of different reasons to why people go places, but I think when God touches you in a certain place, it really changes how you perceive that place.
Well, obviously because we're new here, we had to start from scratch, but we had a head start, which we did not expect to find, and that was the testimony that Deb and Chuck gave for this church, and we joined by Zoom just in order that we could stay in the back corner and not be seen or heard. I still have scotch tape over the camera on my computer, you know. But it was their testimony about the feeling for Christ that exists in this church here, and the heart for Christ that the people in this church have. And it was through the Zoom meetings that it became evident to us that that's the case. Now, we've been shooting around the country for the last year and a half, and every place that we had stopped, we would look for a church, and I've used for the last several years since I became aware of it, the nine marks book to figure out what kind of a congregation is a particular church going to be. And you can look online and find churches that are that endorse the nine marks principles. And that's how we found a couple of churches, not too many in New Hampshire, by the way. I think there were three in the whole state. And one of them was way down in Lebanon, and one of them was down the coast. And then there was another one over in Lancaster. And but when we wound up over here, even Lancaster is a bit far. They go trekking across the countryside in the wintertime, especially. And we were particularly pleased that the Lord made the connection through Deb and Chuck for us to explore this church here. And it's finding Christ, and it's finding the people's heart. That's the important thing, because that way you know that Christ has them. And as we were saying today, he's not going to like the houses. So we're just praying that that will be able to fit into the ministry, not just fit into the congregation.
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes people are looking for like a family style gathering. You know, maybe they've been through a war, so they're estranged, or you know, their family is off in another place or whatever, and they need some form of connection. Also, where there's mutual trust and companionship. It's more intimate, maybe a little more informal. And also, when you think about Paul's letters, a lot of times he addresses those kind of situations that your families have been in, and situations that the people have been in. So, anybody else?
I feel that church is a place where we can feed off each other. We can grow because of each other, because the word is there, the heart is there, and the mind is there. And to me, I think that's an important aspect. I mean, you can go to church and not get along with anybody, or not even talk to anybody, but you're not growing. But if you can feed off each other through the love that the people have, which is a true love in their church, I believe that that's one of the better things that are there. Yeah, you feel like family.
Yeah, right, yeah. And there are some people, like this man uses the setting for them, because they don't want to be known. They want to go in, sit in the back. I mean, I've been to funerals and stuff, and I'm not picking on the Catholic Church, and just saying, because it's set up there where you can do that, where people would sit on the outside row, so that as soon as it was done, they're gone.
Yeah.
And I can remember one time we had a unity worship thing at St. Anne's, and after the service, and again, I'm not criticizing, I'm just making a statement that all the Catholics left, and all the Protestants were all hanging around talking and half the night each other. It's like, not everyone's like that, but that was an obvious thing. So I was talking to the priest, and I said, what's going on? He said, well, they like to go home and contemplate what they heard or whatever. And it's like, well, we like to talk about it right now. So I think people want to also, you know, there's some people who maybe want to belong to a personal, non-professional environment away from the workplace. I'm just thinking about, like, Amy back there. And like me, when I was in public school, like, I needed some place to go for relief. You know, from the stress of, you know, the workplace. I mean, I love my job, but it's like sometimes you just need to get away. If you're in public settings, if you're in the public eye, sometimes you need to go somewhere where it's a little less, you know, impersonal and professional. Life in the fast lane. Life in the fast lane. We live in a fast lane life. I mean, Zoom's an example. And so people need to have a different, you know, let's take a break from shut the phones off. And I saw somebody the other day, it was like all these people together at a ball game. And I've seen it because I've been to some professional ball games where they're all on their phones. Watch the game.
Yeah.
It's like, holy smokes. Believe it or not, like, I don't know if this is an unusual thing, but sometimes people a tie of it's all about me, constant competition. Especially if they aren't as important as they think they are or hope to be. Maybe they have had some setbacks and they're looking for a story bigger than themselves, but small enough so they can contribute to, in this case, the church moving forward. They have something to offer and they're going to help the church move forward. How about this one? Sometimes people need to settle things with God in a safe place. Looking for answers to the tragedies of life, involvement in that. They may have some regrets of choices they've made. I mean, we've had people testify here, and Jen testified that this morning about some things she, as a parent or whatever. Sometimes you have to have a place where you can do that. And people would say, well, in this open setting, you might say something that might offend someone. Well, you might say something that might lead someone to Christ or encourage them in the place they go. Maybe they want to find someone who's got some spiritual maturity, who they can ask some hard questions of and be challenged. I have a tendency to do that sometimes with people who know me. If you've got an issue, I might ask you what's going on. And some people don't like that. Other people, it's like, well, maybe I need to get that off my shoulders and have someone who can pray with or whatever and help me through that. It's nice to have testimonies shared where people actually listen and care. And I think you see that here. And I had a situation and I might have, sometimes I share stuff that I've shared before, but I don't think that hurts. I can remind you. When Linda was going through her cancer and I was sitting alone a row, maybe it was Sean and them, I was thinking, well, maybe if something happens to her, this could be me. And so I left, kind of feeling like that, because nobody really said anything to me. I don't know if they were nervous or whatever, but the following week it was the same thing. And Chuck and Debbie came over and said, people have prayed diligently for Melinda, and nobody's prayed for you. And so they prayed for me. And see, that's the sensitivity that people have. If you see someone who's like you, they don't even have to be going through anything. We'll show it after, I guess, in the video, but you don't know what the other person's going through. So having someone to listen and care and to have real people, not fake people, real people come alongside to encourage, have sympathy for, and empathy for is important. Here's one that I really like. It says, a place to give back for the blessings that they've received from God. Understanding that they're blessed enough to bless somebody else. Mm-hmm. Jerry brought it up last week about, being able to reach out to people who are hurting. And to be able to ask, I need help. Can somebody help me? And I need some feedback. What are you doing up there, John? Finding and using the gifts that God gives us can make a difference in the lives of people around us. And we're going to talk about the gifting like another time, because that's a whole set thing. But I like this one too, where money is not a big issue, but volunteerism and donations are always needed. It's not about the money, but we do look for volunteers and we do look for people to donate. And we don't say a word. I remember way back when the elders decided to put a box up instead of passing the plate. Things.
I'm going to change you up.
Things. More money came in.
I'm going to do a little swap.
Okay.
Steve, while you're having that done, I just want to share that for Chuck and I, we've always felt like we wanted our home to be our haven away from the world, safe and loving and really reflecting the love of Jesus to others in our home. Our church, we obviously want the same thing, but if the church is not preaching from the Bible, if the church is a worldly place, then all these other things that are so important to us in a church are not going to happen. So Christ being the center, being the cornerstone of this church, or of a church, and the word being preached, it's a recipe for success for a church. And I use that word success not in a worldly way, but in a godly way. All relationships that happen in the church happen because of Christ being the cornerstone, and we're like-minded. So that's how we feel.
Yes. Yep. Amen. That's the bottom line, really, when you think about it. You know, there may be somebody in this body that you need. Or there may be somebody in this body that needs you. Somebody asked me one time, well, I don't really have to go to church because, you know, the God thing out in the woods. And I said, yeah, but there may be somebody there who needs you. Or there may be something you're going to be missing out on, you know. Some people come to church because they've experienced like negative spirits, rejection, discouragement, disappointment, all those negative emotions and negative spirits. And therefore, they want to be truly loved and accepted. And they're willing to let the Lord change them. That's the bottom line. And know for sure that if something happened to them and they stopped going to church and disappeared, that someone would be checking on them. And that's something that said in the back of this book here, it said, does your church love you? Would it suffer if you just disappeared? I hope not. So we practice this modified open church concept and have for a number of years, and that's practicing an exciting and fulfilling life with power and purity for what we read about in the first century church. Now, they didn't have all this stuff, but they had the same, I believe they had the same setup and the same connection and the same love for the people. It's a church where you matter. And in a world where sometimes you don't, it's nice to be in a place where you matter. It offers open worship, where we praise God together. Open sharing, where we build each other up, which has a tendency to kill apathy. It's a community type setting and time that meets our needs. And if it doesn't, we want to know about it. Not all, like I said, not everyone necessarily likes this type of worship and time together, but I think people could get used to it if they gave it a chance. Now, as a PE teacher, I want you to think about this now. I'm in a gymnasium, the old gym. Some of you former students remember the old gym, with the track and the gym floor. You had a weight room off to the side. Anyway, you know, 25 to 30 junior high boys, you know, running around in these gyms under my supervision. And I had to watch everything all the time. And at one point in time, I was very orderly. And it's good to be ordered. You know, God wants like order. But there were a lot of kids standing around doing nothing, waiting for the drills to take place, waiting for them to get the ball. So one of these times, I got this thing in my mind, maybe I'm going to give every kid a ball, a basketball. We're doing a basketball unit. And so I found every ball that I could find in the building. And I had every kid had a basketball. And I would, have a whistle. You know, one whistle to start, you know, maybe we're all dribbling or doing ball handling or whatever, and one whistle to stop. I mean, it was very orderly in like the midst of chaos. But what happened was, my principal came through one time, and he saw these kids all participating, and he was very upset with me. He said, what am I going to tell the taxpayers, who like pay for this equipment, that every kid has a ball? I'm like, I don't know. Just tell them everyone's participating and having a good time. So that was kind of funny. He was like, whoa, what's going on? Because usually it was, you know, two basketballs and 25 kids. You've got 23 kids standing there and two kids doing something and then two more. So anyway, I got everyone involved. And, it took me a while to get to that point because I always liked order. And that was still order in the midst of chaos. So in physical education, it involved all aspects of life, physical, the mental, social, and even spiritual, because those kids are bringing stuff in there, you know, to the school that's spiritual, some good and some not so good. So it took me a few years to figure it out, but eventually I got so I effectively was getting everyone involved. And I find today, sometimes I go to games and stuff with little kids, and they never practice, but they have games. And little second, third graders never touch a ball in a game. They've never learned the skills of ball handling and dribbling between their legs and shooting technique and all. I mean, I have kids come up to me and say, "Hey, Mr. Irvin, where's the beef?" That's balance, eyes, elbow, and follow through, right, Reggie and John? And others, Matt. So they don't teach them the basics, I guess. It's like all games. Well, life is not a game. You need to be prepared for it. So, as I said, you know, the change came with that basketball unit. And then we started doing things like the kids would come out of the locker room and automatically go to stations, and they're doing their warm-ups. And everyone's busy. I mean, we have 25 or 30 kids playing badminton. And no fighting, everyone's getting along. Everyone's involved. And that's what we want here. That's what we all should want. At the beginning, we had boys separate from the girls. And I like that because boys are different than girls are. And then they went to the co-ed. And so we had boys and girls, 7th and 8th graders, you know. And so now you've got this huge spectrum of people. You know, instead of just a bunch of boys or a bunch of girls, now you've got the athletic boy and girl and the non-athletic boy and girl and everybody in between. And somebody had to find balance. And I was able to do that. And fortunately, I also coached track and field and cross-country running. And I never had a parent come up to me and talk about playing time. Right, Matt? In cross-country running, you didn't have to worry about playing time. You all ran. You all ran the same course. You all did the same drills. But one of the things we used to do is I would have, like we did a long-distance run, when the guys came in, the top guys, they had to go back and get the last kid. So by the time they got to the last kid, everyone was together and they all came in together. Because I knew coaches that would do that and they'd go home before the last kid got done practice. And so I always did that to involve everyone. Plus it gave the top kids a little more like distance to run. So it made them a little bit better. But, all were participating, and you guys don't have to answer this until I had you as students, but I think they enjoyed it for the most part. Be quiet, you're going to talk to me enough. So the thing that got me through that was in the midst of the chaos, you had order, some form of order, which is what we need here. A term that Paul used numerous times, and particularly in 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 40. So if you're taking notes, if you want to read that, 1 Corinthians 14, 26 to 40. Verse 26, it said, "When you come together, everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or interpretation." Not just you and you and you, but everyone should be able to do that. Doesn't mean you have to, but you should be able to do that. All these things must be done for the strengthening of the church, but everything should be done in a fitting order. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. I'm kind of jumping all over the place here. In 1 Corinthians 12, they talk quite a bit about the spiritual gifts, service, works, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, teaching, administration, distinguishing spirits, different kinds of tongues and interpretations of that. But the key is this, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 12. "Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." For everybody. Verse 11. "All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines." So we all have something Right, Marie? We all have some giftings. We got guys, I came up here at 7:30 to plow, well, not to plow, just to check and see if Ronnie needed help. It was all done. All this stuff here, I can't do this stuff. But John and Reggie and Jerry, Jerry's shaking his head, no, you're learning, Jerry. And then finally in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. And that's again another time, message for another time. So I guess if I had to summarize what I've said here, God made us all with different talents, different gifts, different personalities. Look around you, different looks, different backgrounds, different experiences. All for the sake of glorifying, honoring, and worshiping Him. And ministering to each other. Not just now, but all the time. And ministering to the lonely and the lost. All accomplished through the church. I believe it starts here and then it goes. Among a group of followers of Christ. If you're not a follower of Christ, you need to be. I heard a story one time of a pastor who had served two churches on Sunday. So he was always, you know, kind of not late, but, you know, kind of late in coming to the other church. And that used to happen in Dunbar. I mean, we had one pastor who used to do West Milan at 8 o'clock and Dunbar at 9 o'clock and Milan at 11 or whatever it was every Sunday. Anyway, he had a spot that was reserved, that said reserved for the pastor, and people would always park there. So he ended up parking down the street and had to walk to the church, which made him later. So they put a little sign up that says, if you park here, you preach today. And it was always empty. But maybe not. Maybe some other people were there, but eventually God's going to use to do that. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone in the body actually could do that? If they intentionally or accidentally parked in the pastor's spot. As you know, there does come a time when we have to get beyond the state of preparation, always preparing, and move into action. And give while you live. The process we are in here at this church, to me, is a window of opportunity that may soon change and become a door of access with God handling the key. But we've got to let it. The last scripture I'd like to read is Matthew 28:16-20. Let us use what God has given us and stay connected on Sunday when you can, so that we can go out and fulfill the Great Commission as per Matthew 28:16-20. You got that? Oh! Then the 11, how about if we all read this together? Let's all stand and read the scriptures together. 16-20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. There's an old hymn that we're gonna sing to close this message, and it's called "We Gather Together." And I just want to read the verses. It says, "We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens His will to make known. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to His name. He forgets not His own." Decide us to guide us, God with us joining. ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, thou Lord was at our side, all glory be thine. We all do exalt thee, extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation, thy name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free. So we're going to sing that together.
Do you have copies of that, Steve, or are we pulling that up?
Because we don't John's got it. I can make copies.
He doesn't have it quite yet.
I can make some.
You thought you were making some copies. So.
Well, I was going to, he said he had it. So.
Oh, okay.
So while we're waiting, some questions. Does your view, and the Bible's view of church parallel each other, and should they? I guess that's a yes. And then the question was, why do you attend the Word of God Church, and does it meet your criteria and the biblical references to what the church is supposed to be? And are you coming back? Okay, I'm going to shut my mic off and we're going to sing this.
Come on, Steve.